That was beautiful. We're in John, the 20th chapter. I hope all of you can consider, we've led up to this day. We start out with Christ and his ministry and doing things with his disciples and the people that were around him and people that he touched and things of this nature. And so he had a following. And then he came to the cross. They did everything they possibly could. You wonder how people can be so mean today. I mean, there's some terrible people. But I suggest to you that it's Satan. He absolutely motivates people to kill, maim, everything. He actually thought that he won because he got Christ on the cross. But thank God, God said, nope, I got another plan. And that's what we're going to look at today. So Christ comes to the cross. Everybody's out there, except his disciples. Think about that one a minute. They had spent over 3 years with him, and they all left him. So then he's alone except for one thing, a group of women. Most churches today would probably close up without the women. And if you think about that a moment, we tend to put women down, and we should just always hold them up. Mary Magdalene was one of these. Mary, another Mary, and Jesus' mother was there. Others that were there. And Mary Magdalene actually ended up being one of the last ones to leave the grave beside the cross. And then here she is in the 20th chapter of John. She's the first one at the grave again. Now, she said, my Lord, just think about this. My Lord, he's dead, but she still sees him as her Lord. Amen. Now, if we think about this a minute, no apostles, no disciples, no other than these women. And, as they came in another book, it talks about how they wondered how they were going to get the stone out of the way. Well, God took care of that. He sent an angel. Not only did he move the stone, he moved the guards. And then later on, he said, believe. So that's in one book. So we see Mary Magdalene. She comes to bring the final rites to the burial, the addition of the spices and the ointments and things of this nature. And so she comes and she sees and looks in the tomb, and there's no body in it. So she runs to Peter and John and said, somebody's taking the Lord. Can you imagine? Now, you got to remember, nobody remembered what he said he was going to do. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come raise up. I'm going to be who I am. So, as it says here in 21, it's 20, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She's not a Baptist. And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to other disciple and the one whom Jesus loved and said to them, by the way, in that verse right there, we found out what happened to Peter all this time. Since he denied Christ, John went and found him and brought him home. Amen. Now you think about that. John, what a lovely person he is. Because here's Peter, and can you imagine, you're looking at all that's happened on and what you did and how the Lord loved his people so much. And there you were denying him. When you swore you'd die with him, all of them swore they'd die. And most of them left him. Amen? They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. In Matthew, it talks about how she's going to talk to a gardener and said, just tell me where he is and I'll go get him and I'll carry him away. Now here's a woman who will carry this body of a man away. That's how, now she's probably a healthy woman and all this, but you know, and I know there's some very strong women, but you know, think of that. She was willing to do whatever it took to take care of him. So they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there. In the Greek, it talks about absolutely the way the cloth was wrapped. It's still wrapped, but there was nothing inside of it. Now, if a grave robber was to come, he'd grab the body with the wrapping and go. Now, who would unwrap somebody because it's pretty big deal? Who would take all that time? And here's the napkin. It was folded at the head. It just crushed down too. Indicating, I don't know about y'all, but it indicates the Lord just went straight through it. Amen? And he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. This was John. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. You know, he just kind of brushed past him. You can see Peter. Peter, the one that could put his foot in his mouth faster than anybody, he rushed in. I'm going to go look. Following him. And went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there. And the face, by the way, notice that he saw the linen clothes lying there. He, by the way, it's changing Greek words here from one seeing, like I'm seeing the room. All right, there's another Greek word that I'm seeing the room and I'm deciding what y'all are thinking about. What's going on? And that's what we just switched from John to Peter. And Peter's looked at this room and he looked at this room and he said, Christ is not here. He's arisen. He figured out. Here he is, so afraid of everything he's done, and all of a sudden, he has been renewed. He understands that Christ has risen. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face and the faith cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and he saw and believed. So he became just like Peter. He understood what happened. Boom. From outside, he saw it was empty, but he didn't realize the cloth had fallen down, things of this nature. And he saw and believed. Think about that. Do you remember when you believed in Jesus Christ? You know, I know exactly where I was. I mean, you know, there's some people say, well, you got to remember the date, time, and second or something. I just remember where I was. I knew it was spring. I was in Tallahassee in my office. I got on my knees, and I realized once I prayed, the Lord had come into my heart. Changed my life from that moment on. It's been up and down, but thank God. You know, thank God. He died for me. And I pray as we think about what he's done, because his resurrection, each one of us in this room, you may say, well, I can never be saved. That's a lie from hell. There are people who listen to Satan and they are going to go to hell because they listen to Satan. Listen to God. Listen to Peter and John and the witness of these people. He is risen. He is not here. He's in heaven. Well, actually, he went to heaven, came back, as we'll see as we go. But as of yet, they did not understand the signature that he must rise from the dead. See, he died on the cross for our sins. Amen? But the authority came when he came out of the grave. Amen. It had to be a resurrection or it would not have been complete. That the script that he must rise from the dead, then the disciples went back to their homes. They went back to think, I guess. course, Mary stood weeping. She lingered at the tomb. You know, she don't give up. And I know women just like this. I'm married to one of them. Just doesn't give up. You know, she knows she's got to do something. My wife has to clean. Picks me up, dusts me off, that kind of stuff. So here she is. She's weeping. She hadn't stopped crying probably for 3+ days, y'all. And here she is in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to the woman, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord." She's still, you know, Peter and John probably didn't even talk to him for some reason. I mean, we have seen in all four Gospels, no dialogue between the two apostles, the future apostles, and here's Mary. But she said, "I want to know where he's at." And she says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And I asked you this morning, you know, you may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, but maybe you're seeking some relief from your life. Mary is seeking relief from her life. She had been released from 7 demons. Jesus Christ had driven them out of her heart. So she was absolutely just sold out for Jesus Christ. You know, he was everything to her because of what he'd done for her. And just she understood. So here she is weeping and just mourning his loss. And goes on, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," or teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he hath said these things." Can you imagine? Here she is desperate to see her Lord, and he stands there and comforts her, waits on this one woman. You know, as you go through John, you'll find that Jesus Christ dealt with groups of people, 2s, 3s, and 1. He always got down to one. If you turn to 21, chapter 21. You know, in verse 15 it says, well, let me just fill it in a little bit. He told them to meet him a place, and he came. And they came. They were, of course, they decided they were going to do something because, see, there was a little too much time. And Peter says, "Let's go fishing." So they all said, "Let's go fishing. You know, let's fill in the day." So they get out there and they work all night, cold, not one fish. That's like taking me when you go fishing. I will guarantee you will not have any fish in the boat. I promise. But I love to go and, you know, at least wet a line, that kind of stuff. But so they do it. And then one time they were professional fishermen. And so here they are. They're kind of coming back in from deep sea fishing. And here somebody's up on the bank. There's a fire. There's fish. There's bread. You know, everything's set up. And finally John says, "You know, because that man just asked us, do we have any fish? And he sounds like Jesus Christ." And Peter looked up there and says, "It is." He put on a coat, jumped in the water, swam 100 yards. Amen? He's eager. He just wants to see his Savior. Now, he was invited to come be with them multiple times to make sure he understood. He was to come with the disciples and bring Peter. So Peter was probably ecstatic that he was included. So then we come down, and so then Peter gets up, and he says, and when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now remember, Peter denied him three times. And I bring this up because, you know, sometimes we say and do things that dishonor God horrible ways. You may have said something, done something in your life that you're completely ashamed of. There's no way to overcome it in your life. Peter denied the Lord him to his face. Lied to him. Betrayed him. Now think about that. Peter, he's got him in front of him. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Each time, if we saw it in the Greek, you're changing the word love from a deep, deep abiding love to just a casual love. And so Jesus Christ is changing each time to meet where Peter is. Peter can't get down to where Christ wants him to be. But I think he's kind of telling these things so that one day he will obtain that kind of love, that deep, abiding love that Peter ultimately, not very long after this, he grew into it. He understood what Christ was saying, I believe. And he said to him, feed my sheep, or tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let me tell you a little secret. Every person in this room that's a Christian, we're to be feeding other sheep. Every one of us, no exception. Everybody's a minister. So well, that's just a man. No, we minister to anybody and everybody. You're female or male, it doesn't matter. We're to minister to people. We're to love people. But going back to Peter, just a second. Let me finish that up. Peter probably crucified himself in the sense of his grief. But can you imagine being invited back in? Forgiven. You know, he knew he was still with Jesus Christ. Christ had not done away with him. Jesus Christ had not done away with any one of you. You may say, well, I'm a Christian, but I have done so many terrible things. Why would he ever use me? Only because you will not step out. Does he not use you? Peter came where he was supposed to be. And I pray everybody in this room is doing exactly what God wants you to do, to be that minister of Christ. Feed my sheep. Do what I've told you to do. And he'd already told him in chapter 16 of John, he talked about, you know, you can't take everything I can tell you right now because you're not ready. Some of y'all might not be ready, but the Lord wants you to grow up, become his ministers. Become what he wants each one of us to be. Every one of us have a job. Don't fail him. And if you're lost and undone and you need a Savior, Jesus Christ is the one. He loves you so much. He did die for you, and he did come out of the grave. He defeated death and all sin. Every sin, doesn't matter what it's ever been, he defeated it. He won life for you. But the one thing you need to do, you need to understand, You have to need a Savior. I know a young lady that believes that she's always had Christ in her. Let me tell you a little secret. You've never had Christ until you invite him in. You have the Holy Spirit who will convict you of your lostness, but the Holy Spirit is not Christ. So Christ has to be invited in. He's not going to force you to become a Christian. What he's going to do is he's going to invite you. He's going to plead with you. He's going to beg you. You need a Savior. Look at all the mess you're in. Look at all the terror you're in. God wants you to be right. And it's through me that you can get to him. So if you're sitting here and you say, well, how do I get there? Well, you ask Christ to save you, and you believe in him, knowing that you're a sinner. And then just say, Lord, come in my heart and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. If you have a decision to make, I pray you make it now. The altar is always open for prayer. If you want to make a decision for Christ, please come. If you want to join the church through letter or by statement, it's also the time to come. I pray you know exactly what the Lord's done in your heart. I pray that you've made the right decision. If you haven't, you can always change your mind. Brother Johnny, if you dismiss the word of prayer, please.